Friends, let me say, how do you follow anything that's happened tonight already? Man, I'm going to pray that God would speak to us from His Word right now. We have been challenged already by the stories of lives transformed by God, and we've been made to look forward to what God has got planned for His people if they trust in Him. I'm going to pray. Lord God, we thank You. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that it was a great rescue mission, because we needed rescuing. And we pray tonight we would understand that and be prepared for that judgment day, to be prepared for eternity. Lord, I pray for each person who is here tonight that they would leave this place tonight knowing they have peace with You and they know where they're going beyond this life. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, why do we want to put a teacher in at Beverly Hills Girls High School? Don't we have better things to do with our money? Why do we want to invest money, time, prayer and resources into going into that school? Or why do we do it into any school? Let me tell you why. Because the girls at Beverly Hills Girls High School need rescuing. Do you hear that again? They need rescuing. And let me say, just in case you think I'm picking on those kids, the kids at Peakhurst High School definitely need rescuing. And the ones at Penshurst Girls, well, once already been rescued from Penshurst Girls. And whether you're at Bethany College, even Deanbank, if you go there, or whatever your school happens to be, here, St. George Girls, a couple of them here, and Caringbah High, let's throw them all in together and say that all of us are sinners, all of us have rebelled against God, and Jesus is the only one who can rescue people. And therefore, we put money towards getting people in there, those schools in the area, to hear about Jesus. You know, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I want you to picture the fact that they're not just nice girls at the local school, they're not just nice young people, and we think they are that. But as nice as they are, they fall short of the glory of God. And friends, even worse than that, not only do they fall short of the glory of God, short of God's standards and expectations, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So because we are sinners, and we're just getting right to it tonight, we're not mucking around, 15 minutes you get tonight. The point is, we will suffer death, physical, spiritual and eternal, unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But Christ has come to give us life as a gift. I used to teach at Marrickville High School, and I remember walking into our high school, and there were a lot of sinners there too, and we used to go to that school every day, and I would pray as I walked into that school. I used to teach mathematics, and I say, Lord, today 1,000 students, and hardly any of them knew Jesus. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus, so each day I would go into the school and teach mathematics and pray that somebody would ask me a question about Jesus, about life and meaning and significance and eternity, and have a conversation. And we had them with teachers, we had them with students. We used to take kids away on camps, we used to run lunchtime meetings, we used to run outreach concerts with bands. We just did anything we could because they were lost and they needed rescuing. And one day I was at a year 12 farewell. It's my first year teaching there. It was just an all-girls year. And the school had been co-educational and just got up to year 11 with co-educational. And it was a farewell and they were just dancing and eating and catching up with all the girls there, a couple of guys there. And at a certain point in the night, we were dancing and then they brought out the desserts. And if they bring out the desserts and I have a choice between dancing and eating, I go for the desserts. So I went to my seat and sat down there, and the other teacher, Brett, and myself were just starting to eat the desserts. And then all of a sudden this song came on, and it's called I'm on a Highway to Hell. And you know, it's dark and lights are, what are those strobes going everywhere? And you can just see as you look out there, people dancing up and down, bopping up and down. It was dark, we were eating, and all of a sudden, you know, our stomachs knotted up. Because we looked at them and we knew many of them had come to hear about Jesus, but hardly any of them had given their lives to Jesus. And they were only dancing, right? It was just a song. But for a moment, God impressed upon us that they were on a highway to hell. And unless they received what Jesus offered them, when they met God at Judgment Day, they would be separated from Him forever. And we looked at this lovely group of girls that we got to know, and many of them came to the Christian group at the school. And all of a sudden, God impressed upon us the fact that they were lost and they needed a saviour. And friends, people saved some of those people. I remember one young guy who, one year he was up a tree, he was mocked, insulted, he had a knife with him, and the principal and others were trying to get him down. We thought this kid was a lost cause. A few years later, he rang me, he had left school, and he said, "You're Mr. Gratzunas, aren't you?" I said, "I am." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I'm Steve." I said, "I used to go to your school." I said, "Steve who?" And he mentioned his name. I was trying to remember, and I thought, "I remember that kid. He's the kid up the tree with a knife." I said, "What can I do for you?" I was going to say, "You don't carry knife." And he said, "I just want to tell you, become a Christian." So I was in Newtown, and there was this little church there, and I went along, and I heard about Jesus, and Jesus has forgiven me and changed my life. Friends, one of my mates was shot dead at 18. He thought he had a long life in front of him. Went out to a farm with some mates and they were mucking around and someone got angry and pulled out a gun. And this guy was hiding behind a ute. And at a certain point he lifted up his head behind the ute and the guy just shot him. Hit him on the head, blasted his brains out on the ground with all of his mates, a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds. They'd never faced death before, but there he was, unprepared for eternity. Let me tell you, he was unprepared. I went to his funeral. It wasn't a good funeral. And I just thought, the message of Jesus has got to be shared into our youth groups, into our schools, into our universities, into the nations of the earth. It's nice to have Joyce here with us with the girls who just turned up. Milan's out preaching somewhere else from Beirut, Lebanon, where they share the gospel. But friends, we've been studying the book of Revelation, where the last section, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, says this. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small." In other words, famous people, not so famous, great and small, standing before the throne. It's a picture of God on his throne. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Keep that image in your mind. There is a book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name, listen carefully, was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Friends, this comes straight after the overthrow of the devil who was thrown into the lake of fire. The judgment now of human beings is about to take place. It says death and Hades gave up their dead. Friends, I want to give you a picture of what happens when you die. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your spirit goes to be with God in heaven. If you are not a Christian, your spirit awaits in a place called Hades, a place reserved for those awaiting judgment at the end. So if you were to die right now as a follower of Jesus Christ, your spirit, your soul would be with Jesus, enjoying the presence of Jesus. Paul says, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." The Bible says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." So as soon as you die, you can say, they are in heaven with God. But Hades is the waiting place for those who do not trust in God. But you see, that's only the intermediate state. You're waiting, but you're still waiting for the final day when the Bible says that God will raise up his people and give them a new body, a spiritual body, that you will live with into eternity. So if you're to die now, you just wait with God in your spiritual sense, enjoying God and his blessings. But there is a future day, the day of resurrection. It says the books are open, which list the names of people for judgment. And their actions and their works show that they are sinners and rebels toward God. They are thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus called it hell. We still teach about hell in the 21st century in this church because we believe the Bible. And Jesus says it's an eternal torment for all those who reject him. But friends, notice verse 12 and verse 15. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. How do you get your name in that book of life? Because you see, the names are already in their judgment day. God already knows those who trust in him. God already knows those who have received him and are living a new life. The names are already in the book of life. How do you get in there? Is it your works? Is it your achievements? Or is it something that Jesus has done for you? I want you to watch this drama on a DVD which demonstrates how it works. Then I'll come back and finish up this talk.
Next. File, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park. That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh yeah, I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
Friends, the point is that you don't get into the book of life because you're good enough, but because somebody else is good enough in your place. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross, he died for you. Let me read you a number of verses on the PowerPoint just to remind you of how it works. Number one, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, believes and trusts in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, listen to this, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Secondly, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. You already have it, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath or God's anger remains on him. So the only two choices, to receive Christ and find life, reject Christ or ignore Christ and find yourself under judgment. I love this one. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So friends, the picture is if there's a big line right down in the middle of this carpet and we are separated from God, heading towards death and judgment, there's a line down the middle. It is Christ who is the bridge to the other side. It says when you believe in Jesus, you cross over. Okay, you now belong to Jesus. You're no longer an enemy of Christ. You belong to him. So at the point of believing in Jesus sincerely, you cross over. For Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's God's intention. Bring you home to him. And finally, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Friend, you know how you get your name in the book of life? receiving what Jesus has done for you. It is not what I do, but what Christ has done that gets our names in the book of life. And friends, when you get your name in the book of life, what comes next? Revelation 21 talks about that. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me come now to Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So we started with God creating the heavens and the earth. We finished the Bible with God creating a new heaven and a new earth. See, the first heaven and new earth, what happened? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Sin came into the world. Death came part of our experience. We needed a Savior, Jesus, who died and rose again and went back up to heaven. Now God comes back for Judgment Day and says, now I make it all new. And the language, the Greek language, seems to imply it is a renewed or purified cosmos. As we have it now, God renews it and purifies it. What will happen? God will live with his people on this new heaven and this new earth. It says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Picture, at this stage, you see a city. You think, what's that about? Holy city, new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. We're the bride, who's the husband? Jesus. So the holy city, the new Jerusalem, comes down out of heaven. Remember I said you're up in heaven, in your spirit, awaiting the second coming of Jesus? When Jesus comes back and we receive our new bodies, the people of God, the holy city, come out of heaven onto the new earth. You ever heard that before? That might be a new idea to some of you. Christ, new heaven, new earth. The people of God come down out of heaven onto the earth. Verse 9 and 10. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's who the bride is, the wife of the Lamb, Jesus. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So you've got a picture. God gives us a picture. There's this holy city, which is the people of God, now coming out of heaven onto this new earth that God has created. And we hear, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. How does heaven, a new heaven, new earth work? Well, heaven is where God is, right? People, God's people are on the new earth, and God's going to be in the midst of them. So we have heaven and earth now merged into one following the coming of Jesus. It all becomes one place where God is living amongst his people. What's it going to be life like? I call it a life without negatives. A life without negatives. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Now, when Jesus defeats sin and Satan and he gets rid of them into hell, everything is now perfect. We now have a new glorious body like Jesus' body. The world will be different. You know, on this earth, we often say this, if only I didn't have that car accident. If only I wouldn't eat so much. If only I could get on with my parents. If only my marriage stayed together. If only my mum didn't have cancer. If only I could love and accept myself. This world is full of if only. Things hadn't gone wrong. And there's any number of things we can say like that. You know what the Bible says? When Christ comes and creates new heaven and new earth, and he lives with his people in the midst of his people, sickness and death and injustice and oppression and war will come to an end. Life and eternity will liberate us from all loss or deprivation. I read this story many years ago, about 15 years ago. I want to finish with this. So someone asked a Christian leader in West Africa. He said this, he said, what will Jesus say when he shouts? They've been talking about the Bible, about the coming again of Jesus, and in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, Christ will descend from heaven with a loud command. And the man said, I would like to know what the command will be. What's he going to say? When Jesus comes out, what will he say? And Greg Fisher, who's the missionary in a Bible college in West Africa, remembered speaking to a man earlier that day, a high school principal, who was apprehended by a two-man death squad. They're going to torture him and kill him, but he just happened to escape. In that escape, though, he lost two of his children, were killed, and there was great suffering in the nation of Liberia. And his man said, he remembered going and seeing the beggars on the street in Africa, no food to eat, nowhere to sleep. So I thought of this man escaping death, but he losing two children. I thought of the beggars. I thought about the people being treated like animals rather than human beings. And the man said, Reverend, you haven't given me an answer. What would Jesus say when he returns? And Greg Fisher said, enough. He will shout, enough. The young African said, what do you mean Jesus will shout, enough? He said, enough suffering, enough starvation, enough terror, enough death, enough indignity, enough lives trapped in hopelessness, enough sickness and disease. I may add, enough struggling teenagers, enough time, enough. God says, the world as you know it is over. Sickness and death and sin will no longer be part of my world and my experience. Friends, that's where this world is heading, to a place with God of peace. But if Jesus came tonight, friends, if Jesus came tonight, you in your spirit either went to be with Jesus or waiting in Hades, waiting for that judgment, where would you be? Friends, this is life or death issues. This is eternity issues. If your life came to an end, would your name be written in the book of life? Or would you be one of those other books? Notice there are a lot of books and the book of life. If you still have not crossed over from death to life, well, tonight's the time to do it. Don't wait till tomorrow. You don't know that you have tomorrow or the next day or the next day. My mate didn't know that he was going to get shot that day. Another friend didn't know that he was going to be killed in that car accident the other day. You don't know when that's going to happen. And Jesus says, be prepared. Today is the day of salvation. So I'm going to pray right now that whoever you are, you may be a teenager, you may be middle-aged, you may be retired. If you do not know peace with God, you have not received Jesus' death for you, and you want to do that, why don't you pray along with me in your own heart. Say to God, God, I want to be ready for eternity. I want you to come into my life to be my Lord and my leader. Let me pray. If this is the desire of your hearts, why don't you pray along with me. I ask if you would bow your heads and everyone would be just quiet as we reflect on this and talk to God. God, we thank you. I thank you, God, that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for my sins. I needed rescuing. I failed to live rightly towards you and towards others. Please forgive me. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and will come again to judge the world. I want to receive eternal life and to know that my name is in the book of life because of Jesus. Lord, I believe in you, but more than that, I receive you into my life tonight as my Savior, my Rescuer, and my Lord, my Leader from now on. Lord, thank you for your offer of forgiveness and new life. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.